Hello, and welcome to episode one of Data After Hours. I'm your host, Eric Bolish, and I'll be taking you on a journey into the world beyond the data. Today, we're joined by a special guest, Bo McCready, a prominent figure in the fields of business intelligence and data analytics. But tonight, we're not talking about spreadsheets and statistics. Instead, we're exploring Bo's passions and pursuits outside the office. So grab your favorite after-hours beverage, settle in, and let's get to know the person behind the data. This is Data After Hours. Hey, Bo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric, thanks so much for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to have you as our inaugural guest on the show. I honestly have no idea how all this is going to play out, but we're just going to roll with it and see how it goes.
Can't wait.
Awesome. All right. Can you briefly share just how you ventured into BI and data throughout your career?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I would start by saying the cliche that I have a little bit of an unconventional background for someone who's in BI. But as you and I both know, we've been in this community for a little while now, and it feels like there is no conventional background. So back when I was in school, I actually did my master's in public policy and my doctorate in educational leadership at the University of Wisconsin. And kind of along the way, I was learning, you know, research methods, program evaluation, taking statistics courses, you know, as I went. And, you know, partway through my PhD, I kind of soured on the idea of becoming an academic and thought, at least at this point, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna get a job and, you know, have some of that real world experience so that if I come back and teach someday, you know, I'll have that that basis to build on. And so I ended up getting a job at the local school district in Madison, Wisconsin, as I guess kind of the first analyst slash researcher in a new department that was spinning up. And one of the very first things I did in my first week on that job, my boss was kind of a casual fan of data visualization stuff. And he sent me down to Chicago to do a workshop taught by Edward Tufte, who obviously is, you know, one of the biggest names in this field. And, you know, from there, I was kind of hooked in just the whole art and science of data visualization, and was able to kind of start bringing that into, you know, my career, really from that point forward. So I have been using Tableau since 2012. I think my first Tableau conference would have been 2016, right here in Austin. I didn't live here yet, but it was a nice preview of what was to come. And have gotten more involved with the Tableau community more publicly, you know, since probably about 2018. And I eventually made the transition out of education and into the tech world. But yeah, I guess started with, you know, a history bachelor's and a couple policy degrees in grad school, and eventually ended up here.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely echo what you're saying about the unconventional background. I think I haven't met anybody in the Tableau community that has gone, you know, to school for data analytics or anything like that. Yeah. I started out in the biology field, and my wife always laughs at me because she's like, "Oh, you're going to be a doctor?" So obviously that didn't work out. So here we are. Could you share just a little bit about where you work now and just your role there, if you're able to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been with Apple for about 4 years now. And I can't really talk too much about the specifics, but I do manage a data science team here at Apple out of the Austin office.
Sweet. Perfect. Thank you so much. So when you're not at Apple pushing updates to my phone, so I'm required to buy the latest version, what are you doing outside of those working hours?
Yeah, so I know we'll have a chance to dive into, you know, a few different things, but I think you know, folks in the data community probably have seen me, you know, most often posting about screen printing, and that's a hobby that my wife and I got into just a few years ago, but has been something that has really kind of you know, taken life for us and kind of brought a new a new thing that we can work on together, that we can have a lot of fun doing. And yeah, that's been the number one right now. We've been printing, working on making shirts and posters for a little over, I guess, yeah, 2 or 3 years now. And we've started the Pie Chart Press imprint for our for the stuff that we end up sharing out into the world. And yeah, that's the big one right now.
Yeah, that's for anybody that follows Bo on any social media, you would definitely know this about him. I think screen printing is one of the more interesting hobbies I've seen come out of just the data community. So how did you get started in that? What came in that you're like, hey, this is something I want to try or take on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I was younger, I would say I kind of, you know, grew up a little bit in the, you know, the Midwestern punk and hardcore community. And obviously, like, the whole thing of silk screening shirts and posters and all of that is, you know, definitely a cool, like thing to do, you know, in that scene. And so I always kind of, you know, really enjoyed, just seeing the art people came up with and kind of just, yeah, seeing the creativity behind that. And, you know, for us, it was actually kind of a spur of the moment decision to get into it because, you know, in 2020, I think after the, you know, the pandemic hit and a lot of things, you know, changed in all of our worlds, I think we, a lot of folks kind of developed a new perspective on how they wanted to spend their time and what they wanted to get into and, you know, explore. And, you know, for us, it was the kind of thing where, you know, my wife has always loved doing art. I grew up in a family of artists. You know, my dad was an incredible painter for his career. You know, my grandparents were artists, and I had never really seemed to inherit the drawing or painting abilities that ran in the family. But you know, data art had been a really fun way to explore that, and thinking about, you know, design and everything that goes into that. And so late in 2020, we actually had kind of an unexpected small cash windfall, just a few thousand dollars, related to something with a retirement account. And, you know, at the time we thought, do we do something really, really responsible with this? Do we reinvest this? Do we do, you know, something to plan for our futures, or do we just like buy something we want to buy and have some fun with it? So we thought, hey, it's 2020. Who knows what the world is going to look like in the future? Let's have a little fun and let's buy some screen printing equipment. So, there's a supplier down here in Texas that kind of had a little, you know, I guess my first screen printing setup thing that, you know, you could order and they would send you kind of all the parts to, you know, get started with a basic one color process. And, you know, yeah, you know, screen printing in particular, it just sounded fun to think about, like, what would it look like if we could make posters, if we could print our own shirts, like, just kind of do whatever we want with it. And so, you know, it did not start out as something that we thought was going to be, you know, any bigger than just like a fun little hobby. But yeah, it's grown into a ton more than that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Do you have a particular project that's been like your favorite so far that you've worked on?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to narrow it down, but you know, I'm always going to say that I'm, you know, the most proud of the things that my wife comes up with. You know, she draws a lot of our designs and has done, you know, so much cool stuff lately, some floral designs and, you know, lots of stuff that, you know, does really well at markets, you know, here in the Austin area, and is, you know, really, really fun to wear. So, you know, she's much better at this than I am, but, you know, on my end, I have, I've really enjoyed just figuring out how we can take a tool like Tableau and translate that into something that can make a poster. And so, you know, I guess my favorite projects. Well, honestly, I'm wearing my Black Flag Bar Graph parody shirt right now. That you know, that design has resonated with people, you know, probably more than any other. But you know, I've had a chance to visualize some sports and music data in Tableau, just kind of trying to use one color, then turn it into a screen and make it into a cool looking poster. And we've got some of those, you know, up on the wall in our house right now. And we've, you know, they're in front offices for some sports franchises. I just did a little giveaway online and sent out, you know, about a dozen of them that I did for Michigan football's national championship they won earlier this year. So, yeah, it's hard to pick a particular one that I like the most, but just kind of that whole process of thinking, yeah, how do I take data about something that I'm super into and actually make it into something that I want to hang on my wall, has just been, pretty fulfilling.
Yeah, that's awesome. I kind of dabbled into the data art stuff for a little bit with doing some sports prints and just some other things. And it's definitely, it's quite the process trying to figure out, okay, how can I export, you know, this from Tableau, you know, into, you know, a tool that can print this, that's going to print it at a high quality so it's not blurry. And it took me a while to figure that out. And there was a few other folks in the community that kind of went through that process. But yeah, that's really awesome to hear. You actually, you know, went into my next question of just how, you know, has that influenced, you know, just your expertise in data analytics. And it's awesome to hear that you've spent a lot of time like visualizing some of that sports data into the screen printing. I've seen some of the shirts that you've printed out for, you know, FC Austin and things like that. So that's pretty cool. I think you mentioned it, but you said that you and your wife go to some markets in Austin. So do you guys have like a little pop-up shop or like an Etsy store or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do have an Etsy store. Again, selling mostly my wife's designs, you know, the data shirts and posters. I've had fun sharing those at Tableau Conference. You know, they do okay at markets in Austin. Once you get outside of the
very specific crowd of people,
doesn't resonate quite much with, you know, rural folks in Texas, but it's okay. we have an Etsy shop. We have actually something we're really excited about is there's a market here in Austin called Blue Genie that's on the north side, and they do a big Christmas market every year that most people know, but they also do kind of a spring market for Mother's Day. And so this is our first time that we'll be you know, one of the vendors at that market. So yeah, you can find our stuff there. On our Instagram page for Pie Chart Press, we kind of keep the market schedule updated. But yeah, it's you know, every month or two we set up and sell some shirts somewhere. And yeah, it's just a cool hobby. It's a great way to, you know, meet people and make friends in a different community. You know, honestly, one of the very most fun things is going to a market and, you know, even just trading stuff with the other artists. And, you know, we've been able to develop an awesome art collection in our house very quickly too, from collaborating and sharing stuff with the awesome folks that are around us. So yeah, lots of markets and it's a good time.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Every time we go to just some of the local markets, just like the small little hobbies that people have spun up and things that they sell. So that's really cool. Hope to actually make it out there to Austin to see you at a market at some point.
Absolutely.
All right. So switching gears a little bit. I know we kind of talked about sports a little bit. So big MLS fan, big Michigan fan. Anything you want to share there with everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. We are, we're season ticket holders for Austin FC. So since day one, our little MLS team here in Austin. When we were moving to Austin, this was before the team was officially announced and before we, knew exactly where the stadium was going to be. But there were kind of rumors that it was going to be on this vacant lot on the north side. And I remember before we even lived here, like as part of our tour of the city, driving and finding the little lot and thinking, gosh, it'd be so cool to see what this is going to be like in a few years. And it ended up working out too that the house we bought when we moved here was, walking distance to the stadium. So it's been, super fun to go to those matches and watch how that has, you know, impacted our community in a really positive way. And yeah, now that our older daughter, she's 8 now, and now she's really excited about going to the matches. So cool. It's been.
Did you play soccer growing up?
You know, I didn't play when. I guess I played when I was a kid, in the way that a lot of us like try
classic,
it out.
Yeah.
In high school, I played tennis and hockey. Did not do soccer at that point, but then I joined an adult soccer league in my 20s and played for a while there, and only had one horrible injury, which I guess for an adult sports league is
I agree, because I grew up playing soccer. That was the main sport I played. I refereed soccer up until probably about 4 years ago, although I was reffing up at the collegiate level, and you know, really enjoyed my time in soccer, but I'm so afraid to get back into it now in these adult leagues because everyone's so like reckless. It's like, we have work tomorrow, people. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's a lot. I loved it. But yeah, I was probably not as careful as I could have been. And, in one match, it was the first half of the match and, you know, I was playing forward and somebody cleared a ball like up into my hand basically. And, didn't really think too much of it at the time, like ended up playing the whole rest of the match and then woke up at about 3 a.m. that night. I was like, something is seriously not right here. And yeah, ended up going to the hospital the next morning and had, you know, of course, broken my wrist pretty badly. So it was in kind of one of those rigid slings for a while. And it was a nasty injury. So when I came back from that, I was a little more cautious of a player than I was before.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I know you mentioned you have some family connections to Michigan football as well.
Yeah, definitely. So working with kind of Michigan sports data has been, you know, something that I've done really since the start of when I've done anything in Tableau. In fact, I think the very first time I tried to do anything in Tableau Public, it was Michigan football related because it kind of came naturally to me. But my dad's whole, you know, arm of the family was from Ann Arbor, Michigan. My grandparents were alums and, kind of even more directly, my grandparents and my dad, when he was a little kid, they lived next door to the head football coach at the time, who had been an All-American football player back in the 1920s and then, you know, became the coach eventually. And so, he was actually my dad's godfather and like was a very close family friend. And so, you know, our connections to that program went back a ton that way. I had an ancestor who played for the team, you know, 100 years ago. And so kind of along with that, with my dad's business, he also had, you know, a really close relationship with the University of Michigan. And so, we didn't necessarily have a ton of money when I was growing up. There weren't a lot of vacations, but we did always make it over to Ann Arbor every year and kind of, you know, see his old stomping grounds, take in a football game and, you know, do that whole thing. And, eventually, because of our connections, you know, through their next door neighbor and my dad's godfather, he didn't have a lot of his godfather didn't have a lot of living family members these days. His own, children died young, unfortunately. And so when it came time for the school to retire his jersey, our family was actually, you know, the ones who kind of were on the field at the game to, you know, represent them. So, that was kind of the most, you know, one of the most vivid connections and like coolest memories of, you know, being, I guess a small part of that program. So yeah, that fandom runs pretty deep and I'm trying to pass that along to my daughters too. And yeah, thankfully, you know, we're here in Austin and the, you know, national championship was in Houston this year. So yeah. Made kind of a last minute decision to just drive over and see it in person. So I took my 8-year-old and, you know, we made an evening out of it and, you know, we got to see Michigan win, you know, their first title since I was pretty little. So the first one I was old enough to actually appreciate.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was following along with your pictures and it just it looked very surreal.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So we're getting close to our time here, but just two more questions. What is something that you'd go back and tell your 18-year-old self?
Oh, wow. No, what a great question. Man, you didn't prep me for this one. But...
Yeah, I can't prep you for this.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, gosh. I'm going to end up giving a really cliched answer here, but, I would remind him to have fun along the way, you know, to have a good time. Don't stress out too much. You will find your place. You will find your community. You will find your career, you know? Cause at 18 years old, you know, I was an undergrad majoring in US history and had, you know, no idea where my life was going to go. And, you know, I think, I think, you know, as I reflect on the hobbies we've gotten into, the screen printing, you know, kind of all the, you know, the reasons behind that. That's been part of kind of an intentional, effort to have more fun and just kind of explore the things we want to explore when we have the time to do it. You know, obviously you know, had some losses in the family recently. And I think it, you know, kind of makes me reflect on how, you know, our time's not guaranteed. We don't know. We don't know what's going to come. And, you know, I spent a lot of time worrying about how things were going to turn out. And, you know, at the end of the day, they turned out great. And so my advice would be, have fun along the way.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. That's, I don't think that's cliche at all. That's the truth. All right. Now just a fun question here before we wrap up. If you had to fight a gorilla or a grizzly bear, which would you choose and why?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really switching gears here.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Oh gosh. And I feel like you're going to have people come on and answer this question and they're going to know something about both of those animals and like how you would deal with them. I have no idea. I have no idea how I deal with either one of them. I guess I'm going to say, Oh gosh. I mean, either one of them would absolutely annihilate me. So I guess, I'll go grizzly bear. I feel like I have some memory of some, you know, wilderness survival advice that maybe you can make yourself big and loud and the bear doesn't want to fight you anymore. So,
okay.
I would probably
you think you would stand a better chance against?
I think I would stand a better chance. I think, okay. I think I would stand a better chance of maybe getting it to back down. Yeah. Last year I actually saw my first like real life bear in the wild, but it was a brown bear. I know they're a little bit less scary. So, that was no big deal, but yeah, boy. I'll go with grizzly bear, but I recognize that someone listening to this will know some reason that that's a terrible choice.
Well, we're going to see how the season goes and see what other folks have to say. And then, you know, obviously there'll be some visualization component at the end of it, summarizing everybody's answer. Yeah. So, well, Bo, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It was a pleasure having you as our inaugural guest. It was great to learn about just some of your hobbies outside of the data world. So, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. It's been a blast, and obviously it's a huge honor to be able to go first on something cool like this. So thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah,
absolutely. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to hit subscribe for more unique stories from the data world, and join us next time on Data After Hours. Stay curious, and good night.